We welcome you to worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, we have pew pads. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad as it comes down the aisle. You'll find it on the inside aisle of every pew. Write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes. This lets us know a little bit about you. We do ask once everybody has written in it, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. We have a very special announcement from the GAs. Come on, ladies.
No one wants a child to go hungry, but it's happening. It's happening every day to kids just like me right here in Forsyth County. I go to Vian Elementary, and I was surprised that 11 students has been identified as at risk for hunger.
I go to Old Richmond, and there are 21 at-risk students there. This year, GAs learned that food insecurity can cause health problems for kids, and it can also keep children from normal activities. That's terrible.
We want to do something to help the hungry kids who go to our schools. We have joined the Phoebe WMU Circle Group to host a pancake breakfast at Applebee's restaurant on Saturday, February 1st from 8 to 10 a.m.
You can help by purchasing tickets, which are only $7 per person. The profits from our breakfast will be used to supply food for the backpack program sponsored by our church.
Thanks.
Thank you, ladies. Good job. We're excited about all the work the GAs are doing, and that backpack program is feeding so many children each week, and we're so thankful for all the people that make that possible. Reminder today, we are having children's time, so invite all the kids to come down here after the first hymn to meet with me. Also, primary basketball for our four-year-olds through our third graders is happening every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 7:30. Children are still welcome to come. We've already had 2 weeks. We've got 4 weeks left of that program, and we love for everyone to be a part. Also, our aerobics classes have been going on. We have an aerobics for senior adults on Tuesday mornings, and then for all ages on Thursday evenings. So there is a place for you if you're interested in aerobics.
Bible study
tomorrow morning at 10, Pursuing God's Love, and then the book club is tomorrow night at 7. There are several announcements there in your bulletin, including family ministry team today at 4 o'clock and grief support next week at 3, next Sunday at 3. Okay? I think other things are listed there in your bulletin. And we want to say a special welcome now to our guests. And we appreciate you coming and being a part of worship today. If you're a guest with us, we invite you to just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are going to come back down the aisles and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. This Tuesday, I am headed to New York for a couple of days. Our high schoolers are going to New York the end of March, 1st of April, and I'm heading up on Tuesday to spend a couple of days in preparation and prayer with the people that we're working with, and I was looking over the schedule of what we'll be doing, and we'll be doing everything from working with a homeless center, soup kitchens, after-school VBS type projects, and even doing prayer walking from the United Nations to Times Square. And I was struck this morning by all the opportunities that our teenagers will have. But it's very easy to look at a place like New York or a place like Chicago or these big cities. That, of course, there are lots of needs that are there. But when the GAs come forward and they tell us how great a need that our area has for food, we have a huge opportunity today to make a difference where we are. We don't have to go to New York. We don't have to go to Chicago. We have a difference to make where you and I live. And the choice is, do we see it that way? God has given us abundant blessings, even the ability to breathe, to come into this place and worship. We should give him thanks and look for ways to reach out and change the world with God's love. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our Father, we proclaim your name. We lift your name and your name alone up during this time of worship. Father, to stop and consider all the ways that you have blessed us. It can be overwhelming. Words do not describe and cannot convey our gratitude and our thankfulness. And all you want from us are our lives. For that's what Jesus gave for us. He gave his life as a sacrifice for us. So as we come into this house of worship, may we put things in perspective. May you show us how things were intended to be as we worship you with everything we have. In Jesus' name. all the kids come down, crisscross applesauce. Can everybody crisscross applesauce for me? Real fast, looking this way. Gentlemen. Gentlemen. Thank you. All right. Has anybody ever heard the song, The Hokey Pokey? Oh, The Hokey Pokey. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand, right? All right, let's do it together, all right? You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and what? You shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. I heard some clapping. I heard some clapping. Oh, it was up there? Okay. All right. So what do? You put your right hand in, and then you do the right hand out. But then what do you do next? What's after the right hand? The left hand in and the left hand out. Okay. Then you put your right leg in. Everybody stick your right leg in. Okay. Then you put your left leg in, right?
No.
Then what about your head? Do you put your head in? Put your head in and shake it all about. That's when I usually get dizzy during the song. You shake your head. All right. But there's one, but there's very end of the song. You put your whole self in, right? Need everybody. And then you put your whole self out. And then you shake it all about, right? Pastor Raymond this morning. Sit up. Sit up. Thank you. Pastor Raymond this morning, he is going to talk about our hands and our feet and our whole self. You know, sometimes God doesn't just want things that we say. He wants our whole bodies. So the next time, he wants our whole self to do stuff for him. Not just talk, but how we use our hands, how we use our feet, where do we go, what do we do? He wants everything about us. So when you sing the Hokey Pokey song next time, I want you to remember, God wants your whole self. Everything about you. Let's pray, okay? God, thank you so much for this morning and the fact that you want all of us to give everything we have for you. To tell people with our words, with our actions, by the things we do. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you go back to your seats now. Good job.
I've never seen Jeff dance. That's really good. We could all get up and do that. Didn't we? Yeah. I think we should have all gotten up and done that. That was great. Today I'll be reading from Psalm 27. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, verse 1, then 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to pray together, to talk to you as church family. What a blessing it truly is. Father, we come to you and ask that you receive our gift of thankfulness that we want to offer to you today. We just offer ourselves and our hearts up in thankfulness for all of your blessings and provision even a lot that we're not aware of, you're constantly providing for us behind the scenes and working for your children, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the ways that you have protected us when we've not even been aware, and the ways that you've led and guided us in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the way you've drawn us together to be church family. We just exalt in your name and in your presence today. You bring us so much joy. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, and that's the gift of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that just as we were in our sin and just who we are and our faults, you look upon us with great mercy, and you sent Jesus Christ to spare us, to pay the price that we would not have to pay, that we could be redeemed and set free and saved from ourselves and saved from sin. It's a glorious and wonderful gift of grace, and we thank you for sending your Son. And now, Lord, we lift up to you those in our congregation and those people we're aware of who are seeking perhaps answers for their lives. We pray that you would guide them as they seek your face and help them to hear your voice and to see your hand at work in their lives. We lift up people who have received a scary diagnosis and they're afraid right now for their health. And we place them in your hands that they may be comforted by your sweet spirit, that you would guide the doctors as they work with them. And for all those people who would love to be here today and just cannot be here, we ask that you give them an extra measure of your presence and comfort. Just help them to know how much we love them and most of all, how much you love them and how you will continue to provide and take care of them. And now, Father, just ask your blessings upon this worship service that we may continue to hear what you have for us today. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come to your house of worship and be with friends, Christian brothers and sisters, family, and children, that we are here to worship, that we have the ability to come to your house without fear, without worry of reprisal. Or we're grateful for that. There's not many places, there's not all places in the world that can say that. Lord, we are grateful, and we shouldn't take this for granted. Lord, we come to this time where we offer up our tithes and offerings. Please take them, use them, multiply them for your kingdom here on earth. For it's in thy name we pray. Amen.
Isn't it good to be together to worship? It really is. Don't take this for granted, people. Do not take it for granted. As I was listening to people sing and listening to the children's sermon and I kind of taking in all, I thought we really are blessed to be able to come together as believers and enjoy the community, greeting one another, and at the same time gather for worship. Worship the God who gives us life and life eternal. So I'm feeling very blessed this morning. I hope that you are feeling the same way, that you're here and that you've been blessed by seeing one another and worshiping. Let me, just in terms of life in the church, the question came up this morning between Sunday school and worship. And let me just clarify a couple things in regard to church schedule. We want to come together and we want to take every opportunity to do that. Agreed? But if for some reason the weather is extreme, just so you will know, we get that out on television as quickly as possible. Usually, Earl Blink and I confer about 6:30 if the weather's questionable. So it will generally be up no later than 7 o'clock on all the television stations, also on the answer machine here at the church. So if in doubt, you can either turn on the television about 7 o'clock, or you can call the church office, and the main message on the main number will tell you if services have been canceled or Sunday school or whatever the situation may be. In similar fashion, on Wednesday nights, our general rule is that if they do not have school, we do not have Wednesday night suppers and activities, okay? Anybody remember that? If it's a two-hour delay, it's a little tricky. Generally, we do go ahead. But if the weather's extreme, we may put a bulletin out about that on the email and as well as on the church answering machine. So, as always, use your discretion. Be safe. We love to get together. We love to worship. We love to fellowship. But above all else, we want you to be safe and comfortable in your travels. So take all that as kind of a public service announcement in regard to how we love to worship together, all right? This morning, we are going to talk about worshiping and working together and missions and all of that. But to start us off, I want to read with you a passage of Scripture. You have it listed there in your order of services. Matthew chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 12 through 23. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've got a note down here. I've preached it twice in the 10 years I've been pastor. So it comes around in the lectionary about every 3 years. So we kind of focus in on this particular part. It's kind of the launch point for Jesus's public ministry. He had opportunity. John the Baptist declared the way, and then the baptism of Jesus. And now Jesus has gone through the temptation, and he begins a time of public ministry. In verse 12, it begins like this. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their net and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Look at that verse one more time. Jesus went throughout Galilee. Here's what he was doing. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom. And he was healing every disease and sickness among the people. That's a pretty good formula. That's a pretty good formula right there. You see this formula, if you will. He's calling them to fish with him. Okay, he's fishing not for fish. He is fishing for people. Fishing for people. And assuming the fact that fish generally don't voluntarily jump into the net, you know, there needs to be a plan. How are we going to catch people, if you will? And Jesus, the scripture tells us that Jesus did several things. He went around and he was teaching. He was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he was healing. I would argue we add a fourth one to that. He was also building community because he was gathering around him people. He was building community with them. And of course, the common sense of doing the things that it takes to kind of keep the community afloat. You know, there isn't necessarily any particular order to these four things, but I would argue that all four of them are essential. If we truly want to be good fishermen, all four of these things are essential. Teaching, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, healing, and building community. You have to have all four of those. If you think about it, as the world looks in on the church, there's a lot of talk about, well, the church is not fulfilling my needs or my expectations. Or, I mean, I hear it all the time, and I know you see it probably as well. And as I thought about that, what is it that draws people? What is it that draws their attention? And I got to thinking about what happens when there's a natural disaster, whether it's a hurricane or a tornado or earthquake or something like that. You know, usually within hours, there is a massive effort that's underway to take care of the people's needs, right? I mean, and usually you have a couple of benefit concerts, but the main thing is people are mobilized and money and resources begin to pour into those areas. Why? To take care of needs. People are drawn to that. I've never seen a situation that occurred where, you know, a week later they're saying, you know, we really haven't had any money come in. We're a little disappointed. No, people respond to that. People respond to human need. Someone meeting the need of another person, especially when that meeting of that need arises out of the beauty and the power of God's love. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And as I thought about all of this, I thought, you know, what about those missionaries? What about those missionaries that carry out international missions as well as local missions? And as you think about missionaries, that includes us. What about missionaries that use that philosophy of meeting people's needs? You know, the old saying is, people don't care about Jesus when their hungry is growling so loud they can't hear. There's a lot of truth to that statement. You know, such meeting of human need, I don't believe it's a hook. I don't believe it's a trick. I think it's just being faithful to the gospel. Faithful to the example that Jesus gave us. It really isn't a matter of levying obligation on the part of the person who's benefited, although I will confess all manner of abuse and other things have occurred under the guise of missions. I get that. But it's not about tricking people. It's not about bribing them. It's about meeting their needs where they are. Jesus did that better than anybody that's ever walked this earth. And he gave us a perfect example of it. I have a lot of admiration for missionaries locally and internationally who understand, who guys and gals like that are in medical missions, for example, or maybe agricultural missions or educational missions. In some of those cases, what the missionary can do to help the person is the only message that they can convey. Let me explain. There has been many a doctor, perhaps, that has helped a child get feeling better. And then maybe the child or the parent looks at the doctor and says, what made you come here? Why do you care about us? Why did you leave the comfort of America and come here? Or why did you leave the comfort of your neighborhood and come across town to help us? And there are many places in the world where the doctor cannot say, I come to you because of my love and obedience to Jesus Christ. Well, they could say it, but they may be dead in less than 24 hours. So a lot of times it's just the act of caring that conveys the message. The briefest overview of what the Bible has to say about Jesus, and if you look at it, I mean, think about it. We've got the Gospels here. And we only got four Gospels, and a lot of that is similar stories or repeated stories. That's about all we've got that we know about Jesus. But as you read through that, well, you add personal experience, I get that, but in terms of documentation, that's what we know about Jesus. But if you read through it, it becomes abundantly clear that Jesus was healing. That was at the heart of his ministry. And he spent most of his time dealing with people who needed to be healed. Now, understand, that could be physically, that could be emotionally, that could be spiritually. There are many ways that Jesus heals. And there's certainly more than one way of healing. And what Jesus knew intuitively, because he was the Son of God, what he knew, we are just now discovering. And that is, when one part of your being hurts, it affects your whole being. We were made in the image of God. God is mind, body, spirit. And he created us mind, body, and spirit. And when one of those is hurting, it affects the whole body. Now, I'm not promoting, you know, entertainment-style faith healing or any of that type of stuff, but I am insisting that it is the church's responsibility. It is our responsibility to be mindful of the whole person, how we are created by God. I was looking at some websites, and one of the websites, it was for Palmer Theological Seminary. They have a motto that is very prominent on their website. I challenge you to go look at it. It's kind of interesting. Their motto says this, quote, "Taking the whole gospel to the whole world through whole people." Taking the whole gospel to the whole world through whole people. It goes on to explain. It says, quote, "As opposed to emphasizing only evangelism on one hand or a social gospel on the other, Palmer Seminary regards both evangelism and social justice as equal priorities for the church." I think they'd probably preach. You know, if you read through the New Testament, it would be hard to argue with that philosophy. Really would. The whole person, as Jeff said, you put your whole self in. It's the whole deal. It's all or nothing. You know, you put your whole self in. You know, there are countries, we talked about the ones where you can't put your whole self in. You can't speak the gospel clearly. There are countries which you can, that do permit personal dialogue on religious issues. And in those kind of settings, the act of helping opens the door for the act of teaching. We talk about teaching being part of what it means to fish. For example, you know, maybe a doctor who's participated again in helping a sick child or a sick baby, you know, back to health. Or maybe you think about an agricultural missionary who shows someone how to conduct a very simple irrigation system or something along that line. It opens the door to teaching about faith, teaching about following Jesus Christ, about helping others. Many doors can be opened by helping people. The Great Commission comes to mind, and as well it should. The Great Commission keeps slipping in there. You know, you hear this echoing in the background, "Go ye therefore," or perhaps a more accurate translation is, "As you go." The assumption being that you're going anyway. As you go, do what? Make disciples. That's the imperative. The imperative is not go. The imperative is make disciples. It reads literally, "As you go, make disciples." He goes on to talk about teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. This is Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry saying, while you're going, since you're going, make disciples. And by the way, part of that is teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Those were spoken at the end of his earthly ministry, and the challenges to join him in being fishers of people came at the beginning of his ministry. And in the beginning, which we read, when he called them, he hadn't taught them anything yet. And then at the end, when he commissions them to go out, he had taught them a great deal. He said, keep teaching it. Keep teaching what I've taught you. And in this passage known as the Great Commission, Jesus specifically challenges them to continue the ministry, he says, that I have commanded. Well, that kind of got my attention. That caught my ear a little bit. What had Jesus commanded? You think that there's not a whole lot he commanded. If you read back through, I found a place where he commanded demons to come out of folks who were demon-possessed. And, you know, during the exorcism process, he commanded them to come out of them. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth out of death back into life. But not a whole lot else, except for that little encounter where they ask him what the greatest commandment was. Oh, yeah, there's that. Huh. He said, love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, strength, mind, might, some translations say. And love. Ooh, got a little more complicated, didn't it? Yeah. Love the Lord with all that you are. Love the Lord with your whole self in. And love your neighbor with your whole self in. All that you are and all that you have. Love God and love each other. Wow. That means that those of us today who wish to be fishers of people need to know what to teach people about Jesus. And that may be a little subjective, depending on the circumstances, but I'll tell you what's not subjective, and that is the fact we need to certainly teach them to love God and to love each other. Amen? Love God and love each other. Now, I get that there are individuals, there's denominations, there's religious groups, there's authorities who would be glad to tell us exactly what it is we ought to teach people about Jesus. And for those who do not conform to their ideas, they have condemnation. But, you know, all of those cats aside, think about it. We have relatively little in the New Testament that we know specifics about Jesus' life. It's all right there. We have the Old Testament that had prophecies that taught us about Jesus. But none of that has changed within the last 2,000 plus or minus years. The canon is in place. The Bible is here. Don't worry about what else you have to teach people about Jesus. Teach them what's here. We've got plenty right here to teach them about Jesus. Now you say, well, that's not a whole lot. Well, yeah, you also have your personal experience that you can teach them about. You know, but the issue really is not about the quantity. It's not about the quantity of what we teach people about Jesus. It's about the clarity. It's the clarity of understanding. Understanding what Jesus demonstrated for us, the example that he left for us. And then follow it. Teach. Proclaim the gospel, the good news. Heal. Build community. It's a pretty simple formula. Who inspires the teaching? Who guides us? Who leads us? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said before he left here, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one beside you, the one beside you is going to walk with you and going to teach you. It's going to guide you. It's going to remind you of all those things that I taught you. It's going to be with you always. It's going to be with you. You see, the value of the body, Jesus left us here to carry on his work, to be his hands and feet. The hands and feet are necessary, not just to perform the acts of healing that Jesus leads us to, but to deliver the teachings of the author and the finisher of our faith. The whole self needs to be involved. Fishing for people isn't as hard as we want to make it. It really isn't. It isn't that difficult. Remember the four steps: teach, proclaim, heal, and build community. They go on simultaneously all the time. But neither is fishing so simple as the cookie cutter approach that church marketing people want to sell us. You know, because each church is individual. Each individual within the body is different. Just as each congregation is different. Church bodies are different and they're gifted differently. And each healthy body has to discover the formula for healthy living that God has given them. We don't have to be the church down the street. We don't need to be the church down the street. We need to be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? Can you agree with that? We need to be okay with who we are. But we also need to be faithful to God's guidance to be who we are. And who he is calling us to be, who he's equipped us to be. So again, the words come to you and they come to me. To paraphrase, stop what you're doing there. Follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for people. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we hear the words of Jesus echo in our minds and in our ears, and Father, we know that what we're supposed to be doing. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in our little world, we get so wrapped up in our stuff that we lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of who we are supposed to be, who you've gifted us to be, who you've called us to be. And instead, we want to be who we want to be. Forgive us of our arrogance. Forgive us of our pride, our selfishness. Father, help us to find the joy and the peace and the excitement that comes from being what you've placed us here to be. God, help us to be fully engaged in doing your work here, to be your hands and your feet and your whole body as we extend the love of Jesus Christ to everyone that we come in contact. Father, help us to be sensitive to the calling, the leading, the equipping, the strengthening that your Spirit gives us. And help us to be faithful to all the biddings that come from him. God, we love you. We say that with our mouths, but we pray that this week we would show that with who we are and what we do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here today, and you've heard a lot of talk about Jesus, the man, the Son of God, the healer, the preacher, the teacher, I invite you this morning, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. And I'm going to be here at the front. We're going to sing in just a moment. And I invite you to come down. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. Or if you'd rather call me during the course of this week, that's fine too, whichever you would like to do. But the most important thing is don't put it off. Don't put it off any longer. Give us a call. Let's talk about it. Get that relationship squared away. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I've been kind of doing my own thing, and I really want to plug in a little bit more with what God wants from me. You can certainly talk with him where you are as we sing together, certainly. But if you'd like for me to talk with you and pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. And if you're here and you'd like to be a part of this church in, quote, an official capacity as a member, we have many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. following benediction and response, I invite you to greet one another, extend that warm community we've been talking about, and give each other a hug or a handshake, or whatever, and give a word of encouragement as we go from this place into our mission field. Okay, let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do prepare ourselves. We come together, we worship. Father, that inspires us, it leads us, it guides us, it corrects us, and we get all of that. But now it's time to put it into action. And Father, we pray that you'd be with us as we go from this place. Give us your love and support and encouragement. Help us to feel that as we reach out and touch others in the name of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.